1490 WGCH.
You're listening to What's Up with Wendy.
I think Fight Song might be my new song for my show.
Ooh, all right.
How's that?
I hear you. Okay, Wendy, I love it.
My heart is literally skipping a beat. I am a huge fan. Welcome to my show, Paul Reiser.
Wow, thank you. That is so nice.
I am thrilled to welcome back to my show, Barbara Corcoran.
Welcome and congratulations, Wendy, having a national show now. I'm very proud of you. Well done. You took a little thing and made a big, big thing.
Michael Bolton.
Hello.
This is Wendy, yes.
Hi, Wendy. I've reached the real ones. Okay.
The real things. Welcome back to my show, the beautiful Maria Menounos.
I was excited when I saw you on the lineup. I'm like, yes, Wendy, you're always so bright and happy, and you are a great interviewer, so thank you so much.
Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Can your son play, Wendy? How big is he?
The beautiful Vanessa Williams.
I know you come from a very strong line of women.
Exactly right.
Your mom was a force to be reckoned with.
You must have read my book. Both my parents helped me become the person that I am.
Hello, friends. You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. I'm so excited for this live show today. Her bold approach to matchmaking makes her both a great matchmaker as well as an outstanding dating coach. Senior matchmaker with 3-Day Rule, a high-touch matchmaking service. I am thrilled to welcome to my show, Jamie Bernstein.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. And so take us, first of all, I want to know a little bit about you and your background before we delve into everything else.
Okay, sure. So I have been in the matchmaking space, professionally for, about over 15 years or so. But really, I got into matchmaking from a very young age because it got into me, essentially. I was in high school setting up friends, and then I worked at a pizza place, and I was 16 setting up my manager who was in her 40s, and it's just always kind of been in my blood to help people find love, talk about love, and, see compatibility.
So that happened, and then you're like, wow, this could be my career.
Yeah, and it was a bit unconventional, I would say, and so sometimes, as I was going through life, people were like, oh, I don't know if you can really do that for a job, it's a good hobby, can you make a living? But for me, I'm a big believer that when you are really passionate about something and you're good at it, it works out. And so I've been able to follow that to get me to the point where I am today.
I agree with that, what you said, 100% as well. Mm-hmm. If you believe in something and you're passionate about it, anything can happen. And back then, when you were working at the pizza place, all that stuff, matchmaking, dating apps, all that stuff wasn't as prevalent as it is right now.
That's right. Yes. I mean, even as, I would say even 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it did exist, but there was almost, a social stigma like, oh, you're dating online. It was almost kind of an underground scene.
Right.
Before it had blown up into the very chaotic, commonplace way of meeting people that it is today.
It's true. And also, the times have changed. And more women are in the workforce now. They're not just staying home and having babies. Some of them are doing both. Some of them are just working full time. And so there's no time to get out there and meet people. It's very, very, very hard to date in this world. I think for the millennials, too, as well as the older people, it's hard. So tell us what, and I like the title, 3-Day Rule, a website devoted to helping you make the best decision when it comes to love. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so 3-Day Rule matchmaking is really about helping people date smarter, helping them really bring out their best version of themselves when dating, and kind of figuring out what really works for longevity. We are really helping clients. We're not in the business of the short-term scene. There's plenty of different apps and things for people who are kind of at that phase in their life looking for love. We're really in the mission to help our clients find meaningful connections that are, founded in healthy relationships and a place where they can really enrich their lives by adding that, that romantic relationship.
Okay, so who are your clients and how does it all work?
Yeah, so what's great too, and I've worked for kind of a number of different companies throughout my career, and one of the reasons I really love 3-day rule matchmaking is that we do have options for everybody. So we have a free database. So Eddie Siegel's listening, go to 3dayrule.com, sign up, get in our what we call our free pool, our free database, and you can be considered as a match for one of our clients. And those memberships are paid. And that's when somebody is a client, that is really when it is a very high-touch experience where, I sit down with somebody for at least an hour, really getting to know them, what dating challenges have they experienced, what are they looking for. And as you mentioned, especially women today, I have male and female clients, but some women want families, some women don't want families, some women are, in their late 50s, just starting now to look for love. There's so many different, mindsets when it comes to what is a relationship today and what are people looking for, in that partner and out of that relationship. And so really creating a customized plan and experience for each client, as well as, of course, the date coaching.
Mm-hmm, which is important.
And the date coaching, what we do is we really do a deep dive in getting to know, the specific kind of questions, thoughts, or challenges that each individual person is running into, as well as feedback after dates, because that's so crucial. How were they perceived on a date? And I can, give it to them straight, always in a very judgment-free
right.
place of love, but somebody's got to tell you something.
Right. Well, basically you talked about your ex too much. Basically, you were very negative, or there's probably people don't they go on dates, they probably don't realize what they're putting out there, and maybe
Absolutely.
They should hold back a little bit, or maybe not too much. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Or it's also as much as like what you're going to wear on a date.
All of those things make a difference. And there's some theories out there that over 97% of communication is nonverbal. And so, what we wear, our body language, our energy level, our eye contact, all of those things really have an impact in a first impression and how we're being perceived. So it's very important to be aware and proactive because, once I give my clients these tools, people don't think so much about, how much I'm crossing my arms or I'm looking down
right.
at the ground or I'm looking at my phone or these things, how much of an impact that can have in a negative way. And so once somebody is aware, then you use that to your advantage and can really present yourself, of course, authentically. You have to be you, but you do want to be able to, present yourself in a positive light as well.
Do you tell them, put away your phone?
Yes.
Be present.
We're all addicted to our phones. Yes. Dating really is about being present in the moment. A lot of my clients are like, ugh, I hate this early dating part. I wish I could just wake up married or in a long-term relationship. But the reality is, unless you do an arranged marriage, which, is not the commonplace for most people, you have to experience dating. And dating builds, right? You don't just, even if you have a great first date, you don't really know what's going to happen in terms of the longevity of that connection. You really do have to be present. You have to be involved in the conversation. You have mm-hmm. to be, engaged. There has to be back and forth to get to know each other. And so dating really does require people to actually be very present and in the moment to foster a connection.
Okay, so who are your clients? Like, what are the age ranges?
Yes. Yes. So this is what's really neat for me is I have clients, youngest right now is 24, all the way up to 75, and I've had clients older than that as well. Mm-hmm. Men, women, all races, religions, backgrounds, everybody. And so for me, it's really neat because I am involved in such a personal aspect of, right. of people's lives, and love is such a uniter. So many of us really do seek that one-on-one, intimate, romantic relationship to really feel completely, fulfilled and joyous. Can we be happy and successful and all these things without a romantic relationship? Of course. But it does add a real level of richness and joy to life when you have a healthy, long-term relationship.
Agree. So how do you guys seek out matches, or do they, besides them coming to you and coming mm-hmm. to the website, mm-hmm. which is 3dayrule.com,
yes.
do you all also, the matchmakers besides yourself, go out and find people?
We do. Absolutely. So we really do not have limits as to where we can find great matches. One of my clients who's married, I met her husband at the Starbucks. I have a preschool age son, so I've met matches for clients out and about, doing things with him at different kids' functions. There's really nowhere that's off limits. And I actually, we have, it's neat. I have a baseball hat that says matchmaker on it. And so I wear that. And then
smart.
In the grocery store, people will say, oh my gosh, wait, is it a matchmaker? What's that about? And so there, for me, it's very exciting because I'm so, you know, involved in what I'm doing that there really is nowhere, you know, the gym, I mean, anywhere is kind of an option for me to find a great fit for a client.
I can't even imagine being you. Okay, so I'm you, I'm out, and I'm wearing my, like, matchmaker hat, and
yeah.
everyone's searching for love. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone searches for that one true love, or, you know, their second love, mm-hmm. or love at first, whatever it is, and they walk up to you, and they're like, oh my God, set me up.
Yes. Oh, yes. People will ask me lots of questions, and I'm always happy to give kind of tips, tricks, insights. And you know, that's one of the, again, one of the reasons I really do love 30-day rules, that we do really have that free option that we need quality singles in our database to match with our clients.
Yes.
So it really works both ways. So we really do have something for everybody, which I think is really a terrific way to, you know, have a foundation for love.
Okay. So speaking of questions, what are the top questions you get from one from men and one from and from women?
Mm-hmm. So I get a variety, as you can imagine. But, you know, I would say one of the main questions I get from women is, where are all the good men? That's the first question I get. Where are they? Do they
right.
exist? And,
by the way, where
exist,
are they?
Where are they hiding, right? I know. So I meet with quality, you know, men literally every day, and same with my colleagues. I think women, sometimes there is this thought, especially in big cities, you know, New York, D.C., L.A., there's this thought that there are more single women. And I think part of that, because I have not really seen the statistics to support that, I think part of that is women talk about it, right? With our girlfriends, we're talking about being single. We're, you know, really immersed in being single and what that means. And we really, you know, women feel the need to have a lot of conversations. Where men, if they're single, it's just their life, right? They don't have to sit around and talk about it. They don't have to hang out with single guys. They just kind of go through their regular life and their regular routine. So it's not as amplified
right.
or in, you know, out there. So I do think some of that is just kind of the mindset that we create. And so the good news is that they do exist. I tell single women, you know, that are working with me, of course, I'm helping them finding quality matches and doing the vetting in the background, but also have to let people know, you know, let your coworkers know that you're single and you're open to being set up. You know, let your trainer at the gym know. You know, let your sister's friend know. Let people know that you're open. Because, you know, people, it can be a little bit awkward for people to set people up if they don't know if they're, you know, really interested in that or open to that. So I always tell people to really, you know, be open about it and let people know that you're excited to meet any potential matches that they might have.
I have an idea for 3-day rule. Ready?
Yes.
You can have hats made. I'm single. I'm available. Besides,
yes, right.
matchmaking can give them out to people. Imagine that.
People would have hats everywhere. That would be great. So we wouldn't have to ask any questions, right?
That's right.
Not to be worried about approaching people. It's a great idea.
Okay, so right. what is the top questions that men ask you?
So I would say it's about age. Men, you know, when they're looking for a potential suitor, they'll ask, you know, is it appropriate for me to go younger? Should I go older? Especially if they are looking, if they're at an age where they're thinking about having a family, how age plays into that. And that's something I think more of a modern issue
mm-hmm.
because, you know, women in their mid-30s are still very young, maybe just getting settled in their career, you know, finishing schooling programs. And so fertility has been, I would say, a surprise aspect of matching that I've had to think about over, you know, I would say more in the recent years.
Interesting. Very interesting.
It is interesting.
And
whole fertility industry is interesting. It's
are you,
really grown exponentially. Mm-hmm.
Are you very serious with your clients okay, so let's just give an example that there's a 60-year-old man and he's like, I want a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that works for some. But you
right.
obviously, you get to know them very well and you kind of, you know, have their backgrounds. And so do you very honestly say, listen, that's just not going to happen?
Mm-hmm. So depending on the situation, I do have to get very honest. And what I tell my clients is there's nothing wrong, in my view, with being picky or selective, right? I mean, this is a person you get to pick to create a life with, but there is a problem with being unrealistic, right?
Right.
If you're wanting so many things that you're not bringing to the table, generally that's going to be a challenge. You know, if you look at, I'm kind of always reading about longevity of relationships and Census Bureau data and all kinds of things. And the reality is for marriage, most people end up with somebody very similar in a lot of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of human nature. And so if you're somebody who lives, you know, not an active, you're a couch potato, you're not very active, and you don't like to do things outside of work, and, you know, you're kind of maybe boring or whatever it is, but you want somebody who's very active and engaging and doing all these things, then maybe you should kind of first take a look at yourself and say, if I want that, I need to bring those things.
Right.
And so I think people need to realize that for a long term, I mean, short term, a lot of things can work, but for long term, you know, if you're going to be hiking every weekend, you want somebody who's going to be up for that or has the energy to do that.
Right.
And so, you know, that can be reflected, of course, in how we, our physique as well, but it's more about lifestyle, you know, things of that. So being able to see that there needs to be kind of an equivalent return on what you're bringing to the table.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Jamie Bernstein. She is the senior matchmaker for 3-Day Rule Matchmaking. It's a high-touch matchmaking service. What are your do's and don'ts for dating?
So number one do is being open-minded to date outside your comfort zone. So what I mean by that is don't get pigeonholed in, for example, women often get caught up, I need him to be 6 feet tall. If you are dating online, which many daters are today, mm-hmm. change that a little bit. Say, you know what, I'm going to look at guys that are 5'9 and above, or whatever it is. And you, all of a sudden, you will see a whole new world of potential candidates that are really, you know, quality people. And so once we get out of being so stuck in certain little boxes, we open up ourselves to really meeting quality people. And, you know, an inch here or there is not going to affect the long-term connection. In fact, it will be open to creating something even better. Also, do say yes. Again, this goes back to that same thing about being open-minded. Mm-hmm. If you meet somebody you're not so sure, go out, get a drink, see what happens. You know, we're so quick to say no or to be closed down if we don't feel that immediate attraction or that immediate spark. But really, the research does support for longevity that quote-unquote chemistry and connection does take time to build. So being open to saying yes to maybe to a date that you wouldn't necessarily say yes to, or being open to going to an event, just kind of, you know, saying yes. I would say go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yes, I would say in terms of don'ts, I would say avoid what I call a marathon first date. So that is when you go out and you're having a really good time, and instead of just a quick drink after work, which I do recommend for a first date, now you're at dinner, and now you're walking around the city, and now you go to a show, and now you go to a drink. And there's something that happens that creates an awkwardness. It's almost too much. Even if it's good, it's almost just too much too quick. You know, sometimes people end up going home together too quickly, or you end up, you know, putting your foot in your mouth. It just ends up being too heavy too fast. The best thing to do if you are having a really great first date, I would suggest keeping it under 2 hours. You know, if you go a little over, no problem, but my suggestion is under 2 hours, and then get a second date locked in right there. Say, you know, I had a really great time. Maybe we could go to dinner on Saturday night. You know,
right.
Get that second date locked in, but still end that first date. So avoid that marathon date.
That's good advice. Okay, and should we, dating in the digital world, we're going to talk about that too, but should we expect a text the next day, a phone call the next day?
That's a great question. So I think in general, expectations and assumptions in dating create a lot of hurt feelings. There's no hard, fast rule, this should happen all the time, that will happen every time. Dating is not a perfect science. So my suggestion is, if there's interest there, it would be in the, you know, either side of the, you know, the man or the woman's interest to say, you know, thank you, I had a really great time, I'd love to see you again, or, you know, to get that second date scheduled. So I would suggest a follow-up, you know, even a nice thank you text that evening would be appropriate, or at least the next day. Really, people's actions speak, you know, louder than just the words. So what are they doing? Are you guys getting a date set up, or how are you moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that people appreciate, you know, some kind of touch point if there is interest there, for sure.
Interesting. Okay. And the dating digital world. Okay, so mm-hmm. you're a high-end matchmaker. There's all those apps like Bumble and Hinge and et cetera, et cetera. And I know you work with some of them, right?
Right. Yes. We have, we've had relationships with some where we're able to, like, I've done webinars for Match and things like that. We do have a relationship, yes.
So what do you think about those two?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, dating online is a great option for people. And a lot of my clients, I even help them do what I call a profile revamp, where we actually go over the pictures that they're using and, you know, how they're describing themselves or how they're answering questions. And it's, you know, it's a tool. It helps you kind of get out there and see what's out there. I will say the average online dater spends about 15 hours a week. So that is, you know, equivalent to a part-time job.
Right.
And generally, people find it's limited return on their effort, right? By the time you actually engage and then you get out and things like that. But, you know, if you're dating, you have to try a number of methods. You have to get out there. You have to get uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? You have to try different things. So I think absolutely, it's something that's worth trying.
Does long distance work?
So it can for the right couple. I think, you know, it also depends at what phase of the relationship the distance occurs. If you meet, you know, you're out on a vacation with friends and you meet somebody that lives in a completely different, part of the country or something like that. Can it work? Yes, in theory, if you're both really committed to having regular touch points. And by touch points, I mean, you know, calls and texts and FaceTime and people traveling. Is that generally going to work all the time? No, because you do need to be able to foster that growing relationship. But if you're both committed, it can work. So it really depends on the individuals in that case.
What do you think is a must that a pair needs to have in common in order to make that great connection?
So what I found over the years, something that really tends to be what I call there are several things, but one of the things that I really like is humor. So humor compatibility is what I mean by that. So, people often will say to me, you know, I want someone with a good sense of humor. So I really try to unpack that and dig deeper, because when you start to think about it, there is a huge spectrum of what makes people laugh, mm-hmm. what offends people. So that's why when you go, you know, on Netflix and you see stand-up comedy, I mean, there's some things that really are going to appeal to one crowd versus another and things like that. And what I've seen too in couples that, you know, don't work is maybe one partner's very, very sarcastic and very cutting, and the other person's offended by that or gets hurt or doesn't understand it. And, you know, so, you know, when the version of yourself that you are with close friends and family, and when you can relax and laugh, that's very authentic. And so I find that if a couple can be compatible in the humor department, that really helps for a genuine connection.
You're giving such good advice. And I especially like advice what you said about when you go on that first date, don't make it, you know, all the way into the night, into the next morning,
no.
or longer, mm-hmm. and, you know, leave something. And then you walk away with probably that feeling of like, oh, my God, wow. And it's exciting.
Yes. Yes. And it really is about, it's not that you're playing games. Because I do believe it's good to be honest and open. But the reality is dating does take time and experience, and you can't fast forward that by spending, you know, 3 days in a row together. It doesn't make up for the time, you know, breaking that up into an appropriate kind of way of getting to know someone.
Right, because everyone wants something yesterday.
What are
the best first date questions to ask?
Oh, I love this.
So, I know, it's like...
I love sharing this because it gets me so excited to, you know, provide this information, because sometimes, you know, things that some people think are common sense or people should know, you don't know.
Right.
Number one is, I would say, if you're actively dating, prepare to date. And what I mean by that is for conversation. So, of course, one of the biggest complaints I hear is that it feels like an interview, right? They leave the day, I felt like I was in an interview. All we did was talk about work and this and that. So if you do what I call a little bit of homework, and what I, you know, you can watch some documentaries on Netflix or read an interesting book, and you want to, you know, stay away from really political or controversial issues. But, you know, for example, one of my clients just watched some documentary on the guy who played Elmo's voice, and it's like a really interesting background. So you kind of have what I call these little tidbits of topics that are in your back pocket that throughout that first date you can bring up. So yes, of course you're going to ask where somebody's from, what they do for work, if they have any siblings, you know, the basic stuff. And that should be part of the getting to know you conversation. But why not take it in a little bit of a unique place? You can say, gosh, I saw this really interesting documentary on this guy who played Elmo's voice, and he was a puppeteer, and he was this, and he was that. And then all of a sudden, the conversation now is going to maybe something fun about childhood, or, you know, how they got to see Sesame Street live, and that was one of the best experiences they had. Or it just really allows the conversation to flow in places it doesn't normally flow for a first date. And one of the things that daters report really has them interested in a second date is if they feel that date was unique. Was there something unique and special about that interaction? And so when you take the conversation in unconventional places, again, stay with safe things, you know, food, travel, fun experiences, you know, things like that, it allows the conversation to then open up and allows people to be vulnerable in a more of a safe environment. So that is one of my biggest tips for a first date conversation. So, and doing the homework, meaning watch the documentaries, read the book, read interesting tidbits on the news, and just have those available to bring up throughout the date. And you don't have to say, hey, I did all this homework before the date. Just naturally ease it in the conversation.
And what's the worst conversation on a first date?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, I'm from the D.C. area, so politics, you know, are hot in this area and, you know, throughout the country, of course. I always advise people, I know it sometimes comes up, but I wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about politics. I would avoid spending a lot of time talking about exes or any of the stuff that's kind of cliche. If it does come up, what you can do if you're a knowledgeable dater is manage it. You can say, gosh, aren't we all just feeling the politics, but you know what? Let's keep it light tonight.
Yeah.
You should call out the conversation and then you manage it. Instead of letting it get really weird and awkward and ruining the date, because that happens often, just say, oh, I feel you on that. Like, you know what? Let's talk about, I took this really cool trip to France and now I know how to make baguettes. And you have these little back pocket things of conversation that if there is that awkward pause or goes to a topic that's a little bit heavy or too much, that you're able to manage it and bring it to a different, you know, more lighthearted type of conversation.
And I think also meeting in a public place, obviously,
yes.
So you feel safe. And
yes.
Obviously, if it's with you guys, the 3-day rule, you screen everybody very carefully. How is that screening process?
So what we do for screening is we meet everybody in person. So, you know, in today's dating landscape, it's so easy to avoid having to have, an hour or so long meeting with a professional matchmaker. So when someone is really open and interested in having, to find a long-term mm-hmm. connection, they're willing to come and sit down with me and have a cup of coffee and really be vulnerable. That is our screening process. We do not do legal background checks because it ends up potentially being more of a liability. But we can also kind of Google it and things like that, but it really is that in-person meeting. And you can also tell a lot. You know, I gain a lot of information by what someone brings in person. Depth, character, style, humor, nonverbals, energy, body language. You know, I take up a lot of awareness of all of those things as well as what they're actually telling me and how they're answering the questions.
Right. And do you turn down people?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not because, you know, of any type of judgment at all. It's, do we have the right fit for certain people? You know, so we want to be, you know, really cognizant and respectful of people's times and emotions and things like that.
And so when you match people up, do you send mm-hmm. them, how does that process work? Say, okay, you're setting up Jane with Jim. Do you send mm-hmm. them information, pictures, or how does that all work?
Yeah, so let's say Jane, the female, is the client that I'm representing. So before I ever send anything to Jane, in the background, I'm talking, reaching out to between, it varies, but let's say between 2 and 15 potential suitors.
Okay.
So I'm looking for somebody who meets a lot of their criteria that I've already discussed with Jane, as well as my own expertise and knowledge. And then I also want to make sure that he's interested and excited to meet her. So he would see a picture of her, and I would tell him limited information to, one, maintain her privacy, so not her last name or specifically, you know, where she's working, things like that, but also to avoid somebody creating a false story of somebody based on limited information, as we, especially with Google, we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then once somebody, I feel really good about a match and he's agreed to meet her, then I would tell Jane, hey, I'm really excited about, you know, Joe Schmo. Would see a picture of him, and also I would provide some limited information, and then I get him her phone number, because we find that women still like to be pursued. Of course, either way is appropriate, but generally in dating, women like to be pursued, and then they actually schedule the date themselves. I'm always happy to provide tips, insight, you know, guidance, but it makes it feel a little bit more organic and relaxed if they actually schedule the date.
Okay. And then they call you with the feedback and like,
yes,
this worked or this didn't work and this is what I liked.
And why.
Then we move on from that.
Okay. Exactly.
Texting versus live phone calls.
Yes.
It's so easy to just text, but it's also so easy to mm-hmm. read the text wrong, right?
Yes. So texting is a really very complex topic, in my view, how it relates to dating. So it's so commonplace, right? People text for dating all the time. So number one, I tell especially men that if they want to stand out and they want that kind of that differential factor, pick up the phone and call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we gain a lot of information from hearing someone's voice tone. It really makes it feel like, oh, wow, this is a real person. And you feel excited or turned on or turned off or whatever that may be by that initial, kind of sound, which is interesting. There's science behind that as well. And it also shows, I think, a touch of class in today's culture. My younger clients I'm dealing with, their 20s, it's a little bit harder to get them on the phone because they've grown up in a texting era. So it's a little bit different than somebody, I would say, who's 35 plus, where there was a time where we did call people, right? And that was acceptable.
Yes.
Because I have to also be cognizant and aware of how society is, texting is acceptable in dating because it just is part of our culture. But I do think if somebody wants to stand out, a call goes a long way. And we, so often forget that we can actually use our smartphone to actually call somebody as opposed to just, do things, text or take care of business online and things like that. I also agree with you that it really opens up, room for miscommunication I definitely do not recommend an in-depth getting to know you conversation on text. That is never a good idea. If you're kind of having these open-ended, long text conversations, first of all, there's no context, there's no tone, you can't tell if someone's being sarcastic,
right.
All these things that work against you. But the other thing that people don't really, necessarily consider is that then people go back and reread these, and then they say, maybe they had a tone with this. Maybe they were saying this like this. And we get mad based on almost nothing, and a fight can be created literally out of, with nothing that actually happened that was negative. And so my recommendation is use text for short, to-the-point phrases. Hey, just confirming we're meeting at, 7 o'clock at, whatever bar, parking, thinking of you, these little tiny things. Text is perfect for that. But when you want to have an engaging conversation, save that for on the phone or even better, save it for in person on a date.
Yep, I agree with all that. If you just tuned in, 3-Day Matchmaking is a high-touch matchmaking service. I'm talking to Jamie Bernstein. She's the senior matchmaker for 3-Day Rule, 3dayrule.com. You can check it out. They can give shows you how to work at the team. Gives you a whole bunch of information on the website. We're going to take a very quick break, and then I have a bunch of fun questions to ask more. And we're going to hear some stories from your clients that you're going to share with us. So we'll be right back right after this break.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Periods of rain today, tapering to showers by midday, then ending by evening near 45, becoming partly cloudy, colder tonight, 25. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, cold, 25 to 30, and on Saturday, mostly sunny near 30. Sunday, partly sunny, high of 40, and Monday, mostly sunny, 40 to 45. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackman on 1490 WGCH.
Balance of nature changing the world, one life at a time.
My husband is getting great results with his blood work, and he just feels great. Also, his hair is growing in. It's really interesting. He's getting lots of new hair, which I thought was pretty amazing. And as for me, I don't seem to have as many flare-ups, and if I do get one, it doesn't seem to be as bad or last as long. I'm assuming it's because of the balance of nature, because I haven't changed anything, and I'm not doing anything differently. We're very happy with the product, and looking forward to staying on it and seeing where it takes us.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Laura.
This is Rick Hansen of Greenwich Library. Join us Thursday, February 20th from 6 to 7:30 for Professor Peter Engstrom's Marketing Strategy Workshop. Registration is now open. Take your business marketing strategy to the next level to access real results and real profits. Professor Engstrom will help you develop a marketing strategy to compete with advantage and build profitability from your target market. Professor Engstrom is the founder and former chief operating officer of a global manufacturing company and Stoop Meditech Incorporated. Since 1981, he's helped small and medium-sized industrial firms increase their marketing effectiveness and grow sales. Clients have included EG&E, Electrovert, and Panasonic. Join us Thursday, February 20th from 6 to 7:30 for Professor Peter Engstrom's Marketing Strategy Workshop. Registration is now open. Make a point to visit Greenwich Library. We'll help you find what you're looking for. I'm Rick Hansen of Greenwich Library on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Greenwich has its own sports talk program. Doubleheader weekday afternoons at 4 on 1490 WGCH. Join me, Rob Adams, as we talk about all sports, high schools, youth sports, college, the pros, and anything else. It's your show, so let's make it interactive. It's lively and it's fun. Call me at 203-661-5051 and be a part of it. That's Doubleheader, weekdays at 4 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. For more information on me and my show, follow me on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up with Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Lowy Sloan.
Welcome to my show, Cookie Johnson. My God, even if I wasn't a basketball fan, I'd be your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Billy Bob Thornton, you had a tryout with the Kansas City Royals. Who knew that?
Yeah, I did. I tried out for the Royals. I got my collarbone broken.
Thanks, John Tesh.
Thanks. Great job.
Welcome to my show, Henry Winkler.
Thank you so very much.
I think you're one of the nicest guys in showbiz. It's true.
That's a lovely thing, but I will say I'm one of the happiest and luckiest guys in showbiz.
We're back. You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. I'm on with Jamie Bernstein, senior matchmaker for 3-Day Rule. Okay, some fun questions. The chances of finding love on a night out.
So I would say if you have an open mind, it's a great possibility. You know, if you go in with a positive attitude, anything is possible.
Okay. In a relationship, we should be what?
Communicative. Be able to communicate for sure on everything. Really have an open mind and hear each other out.
Right amount of time to date before getting married. Is there a right amount of time?
There's not a right amount of time. I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. I would suggest really getting to know each other well. It varies, but you want to make sure that you've spent, I would say, all seasons together and traveled together and really been able to experience some ups and downs before committing to marriage.
Okay, we have some, from the other perspective, we have somebody that wants to ask some questions.
That's me.
Oh, great.
I'm the engineer. I'm the guy. So I don't know. It struck me as I was listening. After the first date, what happens when one person thought it was a wonderful date and the other one thinks it was a terrible date? Are you confronted with any of that?
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes people go out and it is hard to really take in, how is this other person taking in the date? Are they wanting to be here? Do they like me? Do I like them? There's a lot of very high in emotion, right? We're nervous and a little bit awkward. We are thinking long-term, and is there attraction here? And so, part of what I deal with is having to share news that maybe is not the best. And so if my client was really excited about the date, but the date wasn't interested based on attraction or conversation or long-term goals or whatever that issue is, then I just have to tell my client and help them kind of have the attitude to move forward.
So you're just honest with them, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would assume that happens a lot, that, you know, one person thought it went, oh, my God, it went so well. And the other person went, oh, my God, that's just not for me.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say, though, part of what I'm able to do is I'm able to be an advocate for my clients. So if my client comes back and says, wow, you're doing that, I had a great time, this person was so great, I really want to see them again. And then I talk to the match and they say, you know what, I don't think I'll go out again, but I did have an okay time. I found this person reasonably attractive. So sometimes I will literally just say back to them, well, if you found her reasonably attractive and you guys had an engaging conversation, why not give it one more try? So there are times where I think in our culture, people are so onto the next that their boots are not knocked off, that I am able to help somebody pause and at least give it another opportunity, which then has led to relationships and things by kind of helping somebody see the light a little bit.
Nice.
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. Can you share some stories with us from some of your clients?
Sure. So, you know, for me, it's like another day at the office. So part of the reason I love my job is it's never a dull moment. So one of my success stories is a client who came to me with a checklist, which is not uncommon, especially in bigger cities, somebody in her mid to late 30s who has an amazing career, is very successful, and has all these must-haves. He has to be 6 feet tall. He has to have an Ivy League background. He has to be, somebody who wants to have a family in the next 2 years, or, these things that we think we create. And one of the things I noticed about her right away was that she was really kind of this, like, fun, offbeat, quirky kind of humor and personality, and her style was kind of, like, funky and bold, and she kept telling me she wants somebody who's all these very straight-laced things. And that's what, you know, she grew up thinking she had to have, and that was what, quote-unquote, a successful man would be to her. So I helped her really dig deep and unpack a lot of that. And she's now happily married to somebody who was basically almost none of the things that she was seeking, other than he is a, you know, a professional, has a career. But, you know, he's like 5'7 or 5'8 and a little bit unconventional and a much different background than, you know, she had her, like, mindset to. And so sometimes I think people hear a story or they assume something equals success in a relationship based on a movie or these things that we don't even realize subconsciously that we pick up. So part of what I'm helping clients do is break down that and get to who they really are and what's really going to work long term.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anything else, Bob? Any other questions?
No, I'm thinking, but Bob, I don't have anything.
Bob's very engaged in this conversation here.
I love it. Thanks, Bob. Keep the questions coming. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? Being open and talking about it and putting yourself out there, I think is one of the most important things too. What's the most interesting thing you've learned through this journey that you've been on with your career?
Yeah. Well, that's a big question. I love that. So, I think the number one thing that just comes to mind is that somebody has to be willing to really have some introspective awareness to get to a healthy relationship. And, you know, sometimes somebody will come to me and they say, I have the career, I have the house, I have the friends, I have the, you know, all these things, but I'm not happy. And I need the happiness. I want the relationship to bring me the happiness. And to me, that's a huge red flag. You first need to be happy with yourself and have to take the time to do that work on yourself, which not everybody's willing or interested to do, before you're actually ready for that healthy relationship. You know, I'm not saying that you can't find a relationship that ends up being very codependent or, you know, difficult, because of course you can. But when you really want that relationship that, you know, really brings true happiness and joy and a real equal partnership, you have to do the work first. And so I've learned, you know, I can tell people, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but somebody has to be ready to want to do that for themselves, for the change to happen.
Absolutely. Okay, so the 3-day rule, 3dayrule.com, they can go onto the website. There's many packages that you offer. People can go on there and request a free consultation. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as I mentioned before, we do have something for everybody, from our free database to our paid packages start at kind of nationwide about $5,500 and go upwards from there depending on, you know, different selections and things of that nature. But definitely if you're, you know, considering it, it is really our pleasure to meet with anybody. We have to meet with everybody in our free database as well. So I definitely suggest to go ahead and sign up and schedule a meeting with a local matchmaker to learn more. And, you know, we're always happy to give kind of general dating tips or answer any questions that you have during that time as well.
And from any city, anywhere, people can log on to this.
Yes, people can sign up. We are in 9 cities currently and growing. So we're in most of the major cities, but people can sign up nationally because we do have some of our clients that like to date nationally. So I would recommend anybody that is interested to sign up and get in our database.
Any last minute thoughts? Dating, it's so different than it used to be, you know? I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 10 or 15 years going down the road, you know?
I know. It's one of those things that I think is one of the most basic human desires for most people, right? Most people really have this, you know, interest, this desire to be with one person and create a life with them and really allow that to enrich somebody's life. And again, I think the key takeaway that what I've learned is that be happy with yourself first, and then you're going to be set up for success finding that relationship that will have the long-term longevity of working and bringing happiness.
Do you get invited to weddings?
I do.
I was going to say probably all the time, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so interesting because some clients will, you know, let me know what's going on, or they'll invite me to a housewarming or a wedding or, you know, whatever the case may be. And other people are very private. You know, after we've done, you know, our time working together is done, I'll hear through the grapevine that, you know, so-and-so is married, you know, they just had a baby, or one of my clients, they had twins, you know. And so, you know, I'm in a very personal type of work, and so everybody reacts a little bit differently. But, you know, all I hope is the best for all of my clients and, you know, anybody that I meet. I'm always giving free advice on the street or really anybody that will listen as I'm wearing my little matchmaker hat running around.
The matchmaker hat. Bob, you had more questions.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was thinking about myself, of course. And I find getting that first date going is not a big problem for me. I'm somebody who's always been very aware of other people's feelings. And I can do the first date pretty well. Second and third dates, though, where I'm really now beginning to think about what do I want. And I have trouble pushing forward. What's going on there?
So when you say you have trouble pushing forward, do you mean you're not sure if you want to see that person again or you're getting told no for a second date?
I'm not sure I want to see that person. I'm not sure I want to proceed. I'm thinking to myself, is it better than staying at home watching the TV? And I'm not sure it is.
Right. Well, see, part of it is you do have to get out there and have some dates that are not going to be as great. And so you do have to really get to know somebody. I kind of call this a rule of three. Generally, it happens between date three and month three. It varies greatly for a number of different reasons. But, you know, the first couple of days are very, very, they should be very light. You should just, you know, be thinking, hey, do I find this person attractive? Are we intellectually compatible? Are we having fun? So it's just very basic things.
Right.
But to really get to know, is this person going to be somebody that I want to be in a relationship with, you really need to go, you know, at least on three dates before you start to even have real insight about that. And so my thought is, you know, if she says something that's very off color to you or very offensive or, you know, don't find her attractive at all or there's something very off-putting, don't waste your time. But if you're unsure, it's worth going, I would say, on at least three dates. And then if you leave a third date and you think to myself, I'd rather sit at home eating popcorn by myself on the couch and I have no excitement to see this woman again, that's probably the answer that you need. But I would give it at least three times if you're on the fence about it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, that's good advice.
Thank you, yes.
I like that.
Yes.
So, and you know what? You have to invest in the dating. You have to invest
in
yourself. You have to invest in the process. You have to put yourself out there. You have to try to be vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah, and sometimes you're going to get your feelings hurt. You know, people are so afraid. Well, I don't want to. Well, that's part of dating. You know, I mean, I wish it wasn't, but it just is. You know, dating, really dating is a roller coaster, and, you know, you got to get on that ride. I mean, there's really no other way to get to the end result of being in a relationship. If that's what you want, you have to do some of that difficult work and be in situations that are uncomfortable and deal with them and then move forward from them. And so, you know, that's just part of finding love. And that's why the highs are so high too, though, because there is all that excitement and all that emotion. But you can't have those, you know, exciting highs without the possibility of the lows. I mean, that's just the nature of love.
I know all your matches that you set up. Everybody, you must make you feel so happy because you know, you brought the. I mean, love is happiness anyway. So you bring these people together, and it must be such a good feeling for you. And imagine you started all those years ago, just like, you know, your friends coming to you for advice and you giving out advice and setting people up, and then you made it a career, which is what the world, you know, in the real world today, it's really not going out to the bars and going out and meeting people. It's really online, it's matchmakers, it's you know, the apps nowadays. It's just people are too busy.
Yes, and you know what else I find? That when I'm out with my husband and I'm at a bar or at a restaurant, people are looking at their phones or they're only talking to the people they came with. People are so afraid of approaching people in public that is happening less and less, to actually meet people out and about.
And what about for the single mom? The single mom that has kids, young kids, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is tough, but it's still important that if somebody, you know, whether you're a single mom or single dad, it's important that if you do want that healthy relationship in your life, that you do put yourself back out there. I deal with actually quite a bit of single parents. And the number one tip that I give is, yes, you want this new person you're dating to know that you have children, right? You're not hiding this. That should be known. But you really want to think, hey, I'm just a woman looking to connect with a man. You don't need to think, is this person going to be a good stepdad? I should spend the whole day talking about my kids' hobbies and interests. And so, especially for single parents that are, you know, really new to dating, they haven't maybe dated post-divorce or whatever the situation is that they're newly single, really spend time getting to know yourself again before you go and date, because you do not want to sit there and talk about your kids. Really, I mean, almost, I would say date one, again, the person should know you have children. I'm not, you know, that should be out in the open. But you need to take a step back and say, who am I as an individual man or an individual woman? And what am I looking for in a partner? That's at the, you know, early, early dating, that's all you're looking for. You need to really try to take a step away from that parent role and just connect and see if you like this person. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big challenge for especially to at least, you know, newly single parents who haven't had much experience, that they sit and they talk about their kids the whole time, and then they need it. Both people leave the date not knowing each other at all.
Interesting. Three-day rule. I like the title of that, too. Senior matchmaker Jamie Bernstein, you have to check out the website, 3dayrule.com. Mm-hmm. So love is in the air. It's exciting.
Yes.
It's fun. What a great, fun job you have. Can't be very stressful. Has to be so happy all the time because you know, bringing people together and making people so happy. So I look forward to having you back again and hearing some more stories from dating. And any last minute thoughts?
No, I would say just have a great Valentine's Day. You know, that is coming up around the quarter year. It's so you know, really tell people that you love them, whether it's friends, family, you know, really enjoy the day. Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday, as you can imagine. So I'm excited for that.
Valentine's Day is a special. And what about the people out there that don't have a Valentine?
Really do some self-love. I mean, that may sound a little cliche to those, but again,
I think that sounds really good.
To be the best person in a relationship, you have to love yourself. So if that means this Valentine's Day, you go get a pedicure and a facial, or you spend it with your girlfriends or your parents, or if you're a guy, you know, go spend it with your buddies. Family, friends, just surround yourself with love. Enjoy the day, because that's really what it's about.
Yeah, go do things that you like.
Yes.
And we should all do things that we like all the time anyway. Life is too short.
I agree.
Jamie Bernstein, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This show is copyrighted by What's Up with Wendy for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without the written consent of What's Up with Wendy is prohibited. You can subscribe to my podcast, What's Up with Wendy, on all major podcast apps, including Apple, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google, YouTube, and more. Thanks to all my amazing guests today. Have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend.
Follow Wendy on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up With Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Loewy Sloan. You know, I've still got a lot of fire left in me. I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my back.